I'm reading from Romans 12, and there is an insert in your things, but ignore it, because that's not the version that I'm reading. Okay? I picked through a few different versions, and this is the one that I like, and too bad, that's mine. Okay. So, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. And I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No. God gives it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. In this way, we are like various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we are talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of His body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all of these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts of Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves to each other or trying to be something that we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you are put in charge, be careful that you don't manipulate. If you are called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil, but hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy people. Be inventive in your hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other and don't be stuck up. Make friends with the nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. I'll do the judging, God says. I'll take care of that. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy him lunch. If you see that he's thirsty, get him something to drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Instead, get the best of evil by doing good.
Well, note to self, have Marcy read the epistles to us more often. Well, friends, of all the days to tell you this, maybe I've chosen the wrong one, but I have to admit, this does not appear to be a particularly great time in history to be committing our lives to church. Concerns about the church, some of them very legitimate, seem to keep piling up. Did you know that it was mere decades ago that many in the American church used Scripture, God's beautiful gift to us, to justify the abomination of slavery? Did you know that in Nazi Germany, most churches got in line to support Hitler? Did you know that in Canada, most churches partnered with the government to rip Native children out of their parents' arms and force them into residential schools where their culture and language was literally beaten out of them? Did you know that the last of those schools closed in 1996? Have you noticed that the world has noticed this track record? Did you know that in 2007, when two Christian researchers went around polling Americans about how they would describe Christians, the most common responses they heard were, Christians are hypocritical, Christians are insincere, Christians are anti-gay, Christians are sheltered, Christians are too political, and Christians are judgmental? Have you noticed how this reputation seems to be playing out? Have you noticed that many churches in cities like Portland seem to be emptied out and boarded up? Have you noticed that even those people who still want to love Jesus have started to distance themselves from the church, posting videos and memes on social media that proclaim things like, I love Jesus, but I hate the church? Have you noticed that this is a strange time for me to be inviting you to this? As the worship committee and I prepared for today's service, we chose to put this bowl on this table as a symbol of the church. It'll be a beautiful part of a beautiful ritual we're about to do. But when I look at it, with much of the church's current reputation in mind, I notice something. I noticed that after weeks of me talking, and I did this when there was less in it, so after me talking about God's love pouring down and filling up the hearts of the early Christians and spilling over and being messy, spilling out onto Pentecost, onto the hearts of the first believers, onto other Jews from all over, spilling out onto a black eunuch, spilling out onto a completely unclean Gentile family, spilling out into their arch enemy Paul, that after all that talk about spilling, I notice that this bowl doesn't seem to be in danger, at least now that I'm not holding it, of spilling a single drop. I notice that it looks a lot more when it's sitting here like what many of us Christians feel like when we think about church sometimes. Like the church is a place that's not always in danger of spilling anything. Like it's something that doesn't even come close to spilling out love. Like maybe our bowl has been crafted to trap the water in and make sure none of it ever gets out. Does this bowl remind you of how you feel some days? Do you have concerns like if the church is based on an overflowing, spilling out kind of love, why does it sometimes feel like we spend most of our time building dams? Or if church is based on an overflowing, spilling out kind of love, why does the church sometimes feel like the last place I'd spill my guts, my deepest fears and anxieties and hopes? So maybe this bowl, this church of ours, is just full of stagnant water. Maybe the best we can do is pull this out once a year on Pentecost, beautify our sanctuary a little with it, say happy birthday to ourselves, and then stick it back in the storage room, where the water will get more and more stale and eventually evaporate entirely. Maybe that's all we can do. Or maybe not. What if I told you that in our story, which is God's story, in today's passage from that story, which is Romans 12, and in today's invitation to celebrate the birthday of the church, partake of Christ's blood and body, and recommit to one another, we have an opportunity to make this bowl spill over once again. That we have an opportunity to remind ourselves in a world where it's sometimes hard to remember why we even go to church, that AMC has already been and still is a church that overflows with and spills out God's love. And that we can once again choose to be even more emphatic about continuing to do that. That we can overflow and spill out with God's love even further. Sounds nice, right? But how? Well, today's passage, Romans 12, is full of words from one of the original witnesses to how this first worked. It's a reflection of someone who chased God's overflowing, spilling out love to the ends of the earth as he knew it. And from those front lines of being church and chasing overflowing, spilling out love, this lover of Jesus, co-founder of our church, Paul, tells us this. Do you want to allow God's love to overflow? To chase it as it spills out farther than you can imagine? Do you want your church to confound the critics, inspire the mind, and soothe the soul? Then listen up, Paul says, because here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, ordinary, go-to-work life, and place it before God as an offering. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and only what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for God. In this way, we are like the various parts of the body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of Christ's body, but as a chopped-off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all of these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were meant to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves to each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouragement, be careful that you don't get bossy with it. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open, be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated or depressed. Keep smiling. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when you're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Discover beauty in everyone. Discover beauty in everyone. So we gather in front of this bowl, wondering how in the world we'll ever get the water out. That's the secret, friends. It's the secret for what's made you an overflowing, spilling out with love church already, long before I got here. And it's a secret for being even more of one today and tomorrow. It's this. In one of the most basic ways of capturing it, it's these four steps. Step one, center yourself in God and Jesus, and in so doing, you'll let go of pride. By centering yourself in God and Jesus, you'll remember that everything you do for and with your church is a gift from God and an offering to God, not something that's about you. Step two, see yourself and your church as Christ's body. That way you'll know that even if you're a super muscular bicep, you still wouldn't be much if you didn't have a forearm or a hand on the end of you. Step three, when people tick you off or disagree with you or have it all wrong or do something that hurts you, go back to step two. See this community as Christ's body. Remember that even if others here are the cause of your frustration in that moment, you'd be ridiculous without them. Remember that if biceps and forearms and hands are somehow trying to fight against each other, it's ridiculous and stagnant. Nothing happens. So step four, finally, love, love, love. Laugh and cry together. Discover beauty in everyone. That, my friends, is the secret to not being a bowl full of stagnant water, but instead being a church that overflows and spills out God's love. If that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, if you'd like to take a good hard look at this bowl, stare it down as our potential for becoming stagnant water, and instead proclaim to ourselves and this world that we want to do what it takes to chase God's overflowing love, well, then do I have good news for you, because today we're going to do that. Each of us, if we choose to accept it, is going to stand up and declare that our core identity is in Christ. We're going to proclaim that we're part of Christ's body, that we will be the part of Christ's body that we are to the best of our abilities, and that we'll never forget that we need the other parts of this body for our part to be worth anything in the first place. And we're going to love, love, love. We're going to look for beauty in everyone. And you know what? As we do that, I truly believe that we'll see God's love continue to overflow here, as it has in the days leading up to today, and as it can, if we let it, in the days to come too. Because when you're ready, you're invited to step one, come up here, right over here, and take communion to center yourself on God and Jesus, as your reminder that everything you have and are come from God, not yourself. Step two, move to this basket, take a rock, and drop it in this water as your reminder that you're one part of the body of Christ. Watch your rock disturb that stagnant water. Make this still water ripple and move, maybe even splash a little. Notice that your rock is unique from every other rock that's going in there, but that all of these different rocks are settling in together. And then, as people keep adding their rocks, their commitments to be a part of this body, watch for that moment where our collective commitments make this water overflow and spill out. And watch as each of these commitments makes it happen a little more and a little more, and as the rocks pile higher and higher. Watch what we can do together when we each add our unique gifts. Step three, after you've baptized your rock, move over here. The communion stuff will be over there by then, in case you're confused. And sign this mat here that will go behind this year's covenant statement. It's going to be framed, it's going to be hung in the foyer where last year's is. Tell yourself that for the coming year, this will be one of the ways that you'll remember the commitment you've made today. Tell yourself that when things get hard, when people here frustrate you like crazy, you'll come back to where this hangs, you'll read the covenant, you'll see your signature, you'll go back to step two, remembering that you are part of the body of Christ, and that we are ridiculous without each other. And finally, step four, love, love, love. Today, love by welcoming our new members who are going to form a bit of a reception line here. Express your love to them on your way by simply or imaginatively. Just say welcome, or I love you, sister, or if you'll be my bicep, I'll be your big toe. If you've seen beauty in their gifts already, name it. But don't feel any pressure to have to say the perfect thing. Just go with it. See what the Spirit puts on your heart as you express your love to each of these new members. Let the Spirit's love guide you. And if on your way back to your seat, or while waiting for others, you feel moved to share a word of love with someone, anyone in the room, let it spill out. Go share it. Let's get messy with this. So, are you ready for this? To review. Step one, you tell I'm a high school teacher. Step one, communion as a reminder that you are centered in God and Christ. Step two, a rock in this bowl as a commitment to Christ's body. Step three, a signature as a way to help you remember this for the coming year when it gets hard. Step four, welcome new members as a way of sharing love, love, love. Make sense? Great. Then maybe a final note. If every step of this ritual isn't where you're at, maybe you don't take communion for some reason, you could pass that or pass other parts. If you are not a regular part of this congregation and it feels weird to sign our congregational covenant, you can skip that. But the goal here is for us, everybody in this room, to participate in as many of these steps as feels right. Especially if you're a part of the broader church, if you're a part of another congregation, please take communion with us. Remind us that Christ's body is bigger than this room. Please put a rock in. Remind us that there are parts of the body that are outside of this room. We need that too. When it comes to the covenant statement, if you are a part of this congregation, I think it's okay if it stretches you a little bit. I wouldn't encourage you to do that step if you feel totally out of sync with it. Nobody's watching or paying too much attention, making a list of who signed or didn't. But I would encourage you to sign it if you're willing to even be on your way to being in sync with it, even if it feels a little scary and like it's going to stretch you. I'd encourage you to still go for it. If you choose to skip it, though, and go to the receiving line, that's fine. We won't be paying attention. Well, we'll pay attention, but we won't be holding it against you. Okay, if you have questions, just ask somebody else who looks like they know what they're doing. I'm going to be in the receiving line, so I can't help you. Communion servers and new members, after I pray, you can come on up to get this started. New members, you're going to go through, once communion folks are set up, you're going to go through first. And if you're unable to come forward today, that's totally fine, too. Marcy and Nate are on the ready. They will bring you communion. They're going to bring you some rocks. You get to choose from their collection which one is you. They're going to bring it up and make sure you could see them putting it in here for them. And then once everybody signed the mat, once we're on our next song, they'll also bring that around to you to sign as well. So that'll be Nate and Marcy. And since you won't get to file through the receiving line, just like grab or yell out to anybody within shouting or grabbing distance, handshaking distance, maybe that's better. Anybody within handshaking distance or yelling distance, express your love to them, and then catch the new members in the foyer later, too. Okay, let's do this. Lena's going to bless us with some music when I'm done praying, and as you're ready, you can file down the front row and begin right here. Let's pray. Jesus, we come to you full of gratitude for the ways in which you have moved over the waters of this congregation from its beginning and even today. We dedicate this service and this ritual to you. Accept it as an expression of our identity in you, our commitment to being your body, even when it's hard, and our opportunity to give and receive your incredible love. Prepare each of our hearts to do this joyfully, even if it stretches us. And should any of our hearts be unsure, speak to us about what you think we're ready for today. In the name of the one whose love never stagnates, knows no boundaries, overflows, spills out farther than we can imagine. Amen.